Good morning. This is Tactical Temptress with your Urban Prepper daily briefing for Monday, May 25th, 2026. We've got a solid mix of content in the community today. Homesteading and off-grid living are well represented, food storage questions are active on the forums, and there's some good gear content worth knowing about. Let's get into it. Starting on the homestead side, Rose Red Homestead is out with a video on chive blossom vinegar. This is the channel's second video focused on chives, and this one walks through how to make vinegar using the blossoms. It's a simple, low-cost process, and the end result is something both functional and flavorful. That kind of content sits right at the intersection of gardening and food preservation, using what you grow all the way through the harvest cycle, blossoms included. Over in off-grid living, Kolob Canyons Ranch shared an update that's going to resonate with anyone who's gone deep on a solar build. 2 years ago, this creator went off-grid on 106 acres in southern Utah and spent over $120,000 building a solar power system from the ground up. The new video is titled "I Changed My Mind," and the content addresses what that journey has led them to reconsider. For anyone researching large-scale off-grid solar before committing serious money, that kind of real-world reflection from someone who's already done it is genuinely useful data. Off-Grid with Jay and Jen are building a rainwater-fed DIY watering system for their greenhouse. The video walks through the rainwater collection and distribution system they constructed on-site. Rainwater harvesting for irrigation is one of those skills that scales. Whether you're on acreage or working with a smaller setup, the fundamentals carry over. The Wild Between Us posted a spring cabin update focused on getting ready for summer solo off-grid. The video covers venting work and the seasonal transitions happening around the property as the weather shifts. It's practical, boots-on-the-ground content from someone managing a full off-grid setup on their own. Now, on the gear side, Survival Lore put the GoFire Ultimate Survival Fire Starter Kit to the test. This is a $12 fire kit sold at Tractor Supply, and the video is a hands-on test of whether it actually performs. Fire starting tools at that price point are the kind of thing a lot of people pick up and toss in a bag without ever testing them. So having someone actually run it through its paces gives you something to go on before you depend on it. CBRN Academy, which focuses on chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear preparedness, reviewed the PMK2 gas mask. The Soviet-era design is described as one of the most overcomplicated masks ever made, and the video walks through every step of assembling it. If you've ever come across one of these surplus masks and wondered whether it's worth the effort, this review gives you a straight answer on what you're dealing with. And a quick mention from the tactical space, Magic Prepper posted a video on firearm selection for emergency preparedness, specifically addressing alternatives to the Glock and AR-15 platform with a framework of 3 questions to consider before making a different choice. That's in the community today. Firearm selection for preparedness purposes is a topic the community covers, and that's where we'll leave it. There's also an automotive EDC article worth a quick mention from Survival Blog. A contributor did a 30-year review of their vehicle first aid and emergency kit, the kind of audit that started with a simple bandage moment and turned into a full quality check of everything in the car kit. The piece covers what held up over time, what degraded, and what needed replacing. If your vehicle kit has been sitting untouched, this is a useful reminder that even sealed items have a shelf life. Shifting to what the community is talking about on Reddit, the food storage conversations have been active this weekend. On the Arsh Preppers subreddit, one member asked what food items can be stored without oxygen absorbers, specifically because they had Mylar bags on hand and wanted to know what to fill them with. Salt and sugar came up as the classic examples of items that should not have O2 absorbers, and the thread expanded from there into other categories. A good thread to read if you're actively building out a Mylar storage system. Alongside that, there's a follow-up thread on long-term rice storage, specifically asking whether arborio rice in a sealed plastic container is suitable for long-term storage and whether transferring it to glass jars is a viable approach. it's one of those threads where the question opens up a broader conversation about container selection and what actually works for grains over the long haul. There's also a thread from someone who recently had to use their hospital bag for real after an unplanned ER visit and a multi-day admission. Coming out the other side, they identified a few gaps, including a notebook to track everything being done medically so you can check it against the bill later, and what they described simply as a seat cushion. Because those hospital beds are hard, real-world testing of a kit you hoped you'd never need is exactly the kind of after-action feedback that helps the whole community. On the homesteading subreddit, someone posted about the hidden costs and complications of buying cheap land for a homestead. Their takeaway was that listing price hides a lot. Water access, zoning, and buildability matter far more than acreage alone. And a lot of first-time buyers, including the poster, underestimate how much work comes after the purchase. It's a grounded, honest post, and the comments are worth reading if land acquisition is on your radar. Also from the homesteading side, a practical thread on livestock water management. One member asked about safe additives for a water trough to prevent mosquito larvae from breeding in it, noting they're in a high mosquito area and the larvae are appearing within days of a water change. The thread covers approaches the community has used to manage standing water around livestock without introducing anything harmful. And over on RSOF Grid, there's a thread on using a pump to boost flow rate from a gravity-fed rainwater tank setup. The poster has a roughly 5,000-gallon tank system fed by about 1,600 square feet of roof collection across a cabin and shed, and is working through the options for increasing pressure and flow at the tap. Useful discussion for anyone building or improving a rainwater system. One more from the food prep side of the forums. Someone in Ars Preppers asked whether pemmican can be made using canned white meats, like tuna or chicken, instead of red meat. They're thinking about drying out canned protein, combining it with beef tallow, and potentially adding dried fruit. The thread gets into whether this actually works from a texture, flavor, and preservation standpoint. Pemmican is one of those high-calorie, shelf-stable foods that gets a lot of community attention, and adapting it with more accessible proteins is a practical angle. Now for some newer voices in the community. Eric T. Meraki posted a short on a 20,000 milliamp hour solar power bank. The video covers the product and its specs for portable solar charging. Compact solar power banks are a popular topic for preppers who want a lightweight power option for devices without relying on a full solar panel setup. Lauren Wilcock covered the Benchmade Bug Out Knife as an everyday carry option. The video addresses the knife's weight, edge retention, and durability for daily carry use. Useful content if you're evaluating lightweight EDC knives. That's the community for today. Food storage dominated the Reddit conversations, from oxygen absorbers to rice containers to pemmican, which tells you where a lot of people's heads are right now as they're building and refining their pantry systems. This briefing is produced by the Urban Prepper Channel. I'm Tactical Temptress. See you tomorrow.